Chapter 24. The Valley of Death. Ekon stared up at the vast wall of white before him, motionless. For a few seconds, as he studied it, he felt a strange sense of familiarity that he didn't understand. He'd certainly never been to this place before. Slowly, though, the recognition dawned on him. The wall before him looked like an enlarged version of the wall he'd once scaled at Baz M'tombe's zoo the night he'd gone after Kofi. He remembered it so vividly, the determination he'd had to get over it then. That wasn't at all what he felt now. Temba took a few steps forward so that she was only feet away from the mist. Ekon wanted to pull her back, to tell her to get away from it, but he didn't know why. So far, the mist had done nothing at all but loom before them in a swirling mass of white. In a way, it was almost beautiful. But Ekon didn't trust it. He watched as Temba crept closer, her hand raised. "What do you make of this?" he asked.
"I'm not entirely sure," she said. "This mist, it isn't natural. It's been created, but by what, I do not know."
"This is the best lead we have to get to Kofi," he said. "So how do we get past this wall?"
In answer, Temba pursed her lips.
"I don't think we get past it at all," she finally said. "I think we're going to have to go through it."
Ekon swallowed. He'd been afraid she might say that.
"Listen, boy," she said. "I don't know exactly what will happen when we do, but whatever it does, don't let go. Keep your eyes straight ahead, and don't stop for any reason."
She held his gaze.
"No matter what happens, do you understand?"
"Yes."
He shook her hand for emphasis.
"I'm ready."
Temba took a deep breath before closing her eyes. Slowly, the hand that was holding Ekon's started to warm.
"How are you?"
"Shh,"
she chided. Without warning, she took a step forward, now inches from the mist. Like before, it seemed to reach for her, silvery white wisps dancing around her face. But she paid no mind as she took another step into the mist, pulling Ekon with her. The minute it touched his skin, Ekon shivered. It was colder than anything he'd ever felt before. Every one of his pores seemed to scream as he and Temba took yet another step forward. And this time, Ekon was nearly submerged in the mist. He resisted the urge to turn around, to get one last look at the open fields behind them, before Temba took another step forward and he was immersed completely. At once, the world went quiet.
"Temba,"
he murmured,
"are you okay?"
"Shh."
With her free hand, she raised a finger to her lips. She was still standing beside Ekon, but in the mist, she was getting more and more difficult to see.
"Keep your eyes forward."
Ekon obeyed. Before them, he saw nothing but whiteness, swirling and coiling through the air in transparent ribbons. It was unnerving. The two of them were alone here, but he couldn't entirely allay the feeling that they were being watched. That something could be waiting just a few feet ahead. Ekon reached out, trying to feel his way through the opacity. And then, a hand grabbed at his wrist. Ekon screamed and reeled back as a person seemed to float toward him through the mist. The figure before him was horrifying. He couldn't tell if it was male or female. Their skin had a slightly grayish tinge to it, and the place where their eyes should have been was hollow and empty. They did not move as they stared, slack-jawed at him. They only stood with their arms extended, reaching for him. He thought he heard a low, wispy moan escape the figure's mouth.
What the?
Back away!
Ekon felt a different hand, warmer, snatch his upper arm and pull him back.
Temba.
Her eyes had opened again, and she was staring at the figure warily.
And be quiet.
Ekon lowered his voice.
What is that?
Something we don't want to upset, she said tersely.
Slowly, she and Ekon maneuvered around the creature, which was still staring off into the nothingness as though it had forgotten they were there. A few steps forward, and it disappeared into the mist again. Ekon fought a shiver. They continued their walk carefully, moving in a quiet shuffle. Gradually, Temba closed her eyes again.
Just keep moving straight, he thought to himself. Just keep moving straight.
The problem was, it was impossible to discern any sense of direction in the mist. They could have been moving in a straight line or circles, and he wouldn't have known the difference. The longer they walked, the more uneasy Ekon felt. He stopped short when he thought he saw a slight movement a few feet ahead of them, a large ripple.
Temba?
Hush, boy.
Temba still had her eyes closed. Ekon started to speak, then stopped. He'd just seen another movement, this time to his immediate left. In the distance, he heard a shrill keening sound, like a hawk or an eagle.
Temba,
he said as quietly as he could.
I really think we should...
His words were cut off by a scream, and then Ekon saw them. A mass of people were approaching them. At least, Ekon thought they were people, or had been at one point. Like the figure he'd seen before, these people were devoid of color, washed out. They did not appear to be running, but Ekon was still unnerved by how quickly they seemed to be closing the gap between them. He jerked his arm, and Temba opened her eyes. Her mouth opened in horror.
Ekon, run!
Ekon needed no further prompt as he let go of Temba's hand and tore away. He felt, more than heard, Temba move with him, turning back the way they'd come. He raised his arms to cover his face as the gray people fell upon them, cringing as their hands began to grab at him. Something wasn't right about their touch. Their fingers felt hard and stiff like bones, too cold. One of them grabbed at the back of Ekon's tunic with a surprisingly strong grip and yanked, throwing him off balance. Ekon heard moans rising from the crowd. He heard hissing, the gnashing of teeth, and a constant wailing sound in the distance. He felt himself being whirled around as the one who'd grabbed him turned his body so that they were face to face. To his horror, he found himself looking not at a man, but at a child. The little boy couldn't have been older than 12, but there were bags under his eye sockets. He wore no clothes, and his belly was swollen and distended. He bared his teeth as he stared at Ekon with gaping holes where his eyes should have been.
No!
Ekon tried to pull away, but the boy's grip was unrelenting. Other figures were closing in now. They'd be upon him in seconds.
Away!
Ekon's head snapped to the right. Temba was running toward him with her arms out wide, as though she were pushing against something invisible from either side of her body. There was a sheen of sweat on her brow.
Stay next to me, she said, panting. Come on!
The gray figures raised their arms as Temba and Ekon ran, shielding themselves. Ekon guessed that whatever Temba was doing, something with the splendor, was repelling the figures and keeping them at bay. He ducked behind her and tried to stay on her heels as she charged through the crowd. It was difficult to do. Temba was both shorter and slower than him, and every few feet, Ekon had to force himself to slow down to avoid running into her. He looked over Temba's shoulder and did a double take. He couldn't tell if he was imagining it, but up ahead, the mist looked to be changing in color. It was getting lighter and less opaque. He thought he could see something beyond it, the start of what looked like green grass. They were almost through. Just a little farther. A voice in his head encouraged. Temba was still pushing through the crowd, and the gray figures were still staying back. A little farther. Ekon let his fingers tap at the air, trying to find a count. He could measure the distance between them and that opening.
30 feet. 27 feet.
Ekon.
Ekon stopped short at the voice that had called his name. Temba kept running, and he felt whatever shield of protection she had created fading from him as they grew farther apart, but he couldn't make his feet move. That voice, the one that had called his name, was distinct and familiar, even if he didn't want it to be.
Impossible, said something in his own head. It's not possible.
But when Ekon turned, he saw the face that he knew he would. The man was standing in the midst of the gray figures, his skin the same faded quality as theirs. His beard was neatly trimmed, and the clothes he'd worn, now torn and covered in brambles, had once been regal. He wore the uniform of a warrior. Ekon stared at his father's ghost-like figure.
Baba?
The figure didn't answer, only stared. In his periphery, Ekon saw the other figures circling him, watching to see what he would do. He knew he should run, catch up to Temba again, but he still couldn't move. He couldn't even count. He could only stare. The figure that looked like Baba slowly raised his hand, pointing at Ekon. He opened his gaping mouth and in a horrible, rasping voice said,
"You killed me."
"No!"
Ekon shook his head emphatically as he felt the empty gazes of the other gray figures turn on him. There seemed to be a palpable change in the air as some of them licked their lips, others inclining their heads and taking a step forward.
"No!"
Ekon repeated, louder.
"No, Baba, I didn't kill you. The Shaitani didn't either. It was..."
But the words abandoned him as the figures pressed in. Baba's face contorted, and Ekon watched as his eye sockets grew larger, as his open mouth elongated. His skin turned waxen, and the rasp from his throat grew louder as he stepped forward. This time, none of them needed to grab Ekon to keep him still. He sank to his knees.
"Killed me,"
the Baba figure said.
"You killed me."
"I didn't," thought Ekon. "It wasn't me."
He knew it was true, but that didn't seem to matter now. The mist was growing thicker and darker. He couldn't see anything but the gray figures all around him. His breath grew short as he felt his mouth pop open. Suddenly, the air didn't feel as cold anymore.
"Ekon!"
Someone else was calling his name from far away, but Ekon didn't move. It was easier now to be still, to be like Baba.
"Ekon, get up!"
Temba was standing over him, a plea in her eyes. She was drenched in sweat, and her head wrap was askew. She bent over and tried to pull him to his feet.
"Get up!"
The gray figures were pressing in again, but this time, Temba wasn't conjuring a shield to keep them back. Maybe she couldn't. Ekon let her pull him to his feet again. She stared around at the gray figures, breathing hard.
"I understand. You can't let us both go."
She raised her voice so that it would carry, but Ekon still heard the tremor in it.
"But I offer you a barter. Let the boy go on and take me instead."
Ekon snapped from his reverie at once.
"Temba, no. Hush, boy,"
Temba snapped. She looked straight ahead now at the figure that looked like Baba. Ekon followed her gaze and saw the figure was looking at her with a curious expression, as though considering. Temba jutted out her chin.
Do you accept it?
A long pause passed before the Baba figure slowly nodded. He lifted one hand, and as though he'd given some kind of silent command, the other gray figures backed away from Ekon and descended on Temba. She shivered violently as their hands found her, grabbing onto her arms and legs and neck, but she did not move. Ekon watched in terror.
Temba, he shouted.
Don't go, Ekon.
Temba was closing her eyes now, and there was a disturbing resignation in her voice.
Go. But find my granddaughter,
she said calmly.
Find her and take her home to her mother.
Ekon started to shake.
There has to be another way to do this. There has to.
The barter is struck, boy, said Temba.
She winced as the gray figures began to tug at her clothes, her hair, but she remained still.
It's all right. Go.
Ekon felt himself backing away, even though everything inside of him wanted to stay. He watched Temba get smaller, lost in a sea of gray as the figures continued to swarm her. He made himself turn and run when he heard the first scream. He ran until he could hear the wails and moans no longer.
Temba is dead.
Three words, and Ekon felt each of them drop into the pit of his stomach with heavy finality. He shuddered as each one embedded itself into the walls of his mind and laid down roots that couldn't be ripped out without pain. He felt them pollinate and grow, spreading until they consumed his thoughts.
Dead. Temba was dead.
Ekon couldn't erase the last image he had of Temba's face. There'd certainly been a calm there, a determination he'd grown used to seeing in the old woman. But he knew there'd been other emotions there too. Fear. Pain. Agony. He didn't know what those ghost-like beings had done to Temba, and selfishly, he didn't want to find out.
Coward,
said a voice in his mind. Ekon ignored it and pressed on, hurrying. This deep into the mist, he could barely see his own hands in front of him. It was unnerving, and too similar to another kind of mist, the one he remembered from his time with Kofi in the greater jungle. On that particular occasion, he and Kofi had been knocked unconscious and had woken up to find their things stolen by a giant spider. Ekon hurried his steps, counting each one as he went on.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
The air was cooling with each step, raising goosebumps on his skin and sending his teeth chattering. In a matter of minutes, the feeling in his fingertips was gone, and his nostrils began to burn. He shook his head until the temptation to sit down and curl up in a ball subsided. Kofi was somewhere in this strange place, and he would find her. He just had to keep going.
1, 2, 3.
With each step forward, he imagined himself getting closer and closer to her. He would find her, then take her to the Kusanga Plains, just like they'd planned. He would find her. He had to.
But what if you don't?
Asked a sinister voice in his head.
You have failed so many people, so many times,
said that voice. Ekon heard the vitriol in it, the mocking.
You failed Kofi when you didn't stop Fedu from taking her, and now you've failed Temba. She's dead because of you.
The voices, the monsters in his head, were all he could hear now. All he could feel as they tore at his insides. In this mist, in this desolate place, It would be all too easy to give in to them. His breathing slowed, and he felt himself begin to surrender. And then he saw light up ahead. At first, he wasn't sure if it was real or one more illusion. But no, the closer he got, the closer he could discern it. The trees and mist around him were beginning to thin, and he thought he saw the barest hint of a green lawn up ahead. He quickened his steps, breaking into a full-fledged run. He crashed through the last of the trees, bracing himself for whatever might be on the other side of them, and then he stopped. He was standing at the edge of a garden. Its flowers varied, but they were all some shade of deep crimson red. To his right, he saw a building that looked similar to the stable found at the Temple of Lycosa, and way past them, straight ahead, he saw a large black stone building, its many windows set aglow in shades of yellow and orange. What was this place?
Stop!
Ekon jumped as a sudden voice speared through the silence. It was low, rich, and there was a hint of growl in it, but it wasn't Fedu's, at least. Slowly, he raised his face to the voice's speaker. It was a young man who looked to be about his age, with brown skin and dark hair. He was frowning.
Who are you?
There was a tremble in the young man's voice as his eyes shot from Ekon to the trees he'd just emerged from. Ekon didn't understand his fear. He was the one without a weapon in this situation. Slowly, he raised his empty hands.
My name is Ekon Okojo, he said slowly. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to trespass. I was just looking for my friend. I thought she might be here.
This seemed to catch the young man off guard.
Friend?
He asked incredulously.
Who's your friend?
Kofi,
said Ekon.
Her name is Kofi.
Ekon watched as the young man's eyes widened. Something seemed to be dawning on him slowly.
Look,
Ekon stepped forward.
No disrespect, but I really, really need to find my friend. I think she may be in some kind of danger. Kofi is in danger.
New fear climbed up Ekon's throat.
You know her? You know Kofi?
The young man nodded, and Ekon thought he saw fatigue in his eyes. A matching fear.
My name is Zane, he said. Come with me.